with Subha, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's monastery. Now at that time the Brahmin student Supa, Tudeya's son, was residing in Sarvati at a certain householder's home on some business. Then Supa said to that householder, "Householder, I've heard that Sarvati does not lack for perfected ones. What ascetic or Brahmin might we pay homage to today?" "Sir, the Buddha is staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's monastery. You can pay homage to him." Acknowledging that householder, Supa went to the Buddha and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side and said to the Buddha, "Master Gotama, the Brahmins say, lay people succeed in the procedure of the skillful teaching, not renunciates. What do you say about this?" "On this point, student, I speak after analysing the question, without making generalisations. I don't praise wrong practice for either lay people or renunciates. Because of wrong practice, neither lay people nor renunciates succeed in the procedure of the skillful teaching. I praise right practice for both lay people and renunciates. Because of right practice, both lay people and renunciates succeed in the procedure of the skillful teaching. Master Gotama, the Brahmins say, since the work of the lay life has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, it is very fruitful. But since the work of the renunciate has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, it is not very fruitful. What do you say about this?" "On this point, too, I speak after analysing the question, without making generalisations. Some work has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful. Some work has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it succeeds, it is very fruitful. Some work has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful. Some work has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it succeeds, it is very fruitful." "And what work has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful?" "Farming." "And what work has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it succeeds, it is very fruitful?" "Again, it is farming." "And what work has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful?" "Trade." "And what work has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and when it succeeds, it is very fruitful?" "Again, it's trade." "The lay life is like farming, in that it's work with many requirements, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful. But when it succeeds, it is very fruitful. The renunciate life is like trade, in that it's work with few requirements, and when it fails, it's not very fruitful. But when it succeeds, it is very fruitful." "Master Gotama, the Brahmins prescribe 5 things for making merit and succeeding in the skillful. If you don't mind, please explain these in this assembly." "It's no trouble when gentlemen such as yourself are sitting here." "Well, speak then, student." "Master Gotama, truth is the first thing, austerity is the second thing, celibacy is the third thing, recitation is the fourth thing, generosity is the fifth thing. These are the 5 things that the Brahmins prescribe for making merit and succeeding in the skillful. What do you say about this?" "Well, student, is there even a single one of the Brahmins who says this, 'I declare the result of these 5 things after realising it with my own insight'?" "No, Master Gotama." Well, is there even a single teacher of the Brahmins, or a teacher's teacher, or anyone back to the seventh generation of teachers who says this? I declare the result of these five things after realizing it with my own insight. No, Master Gotama. Well, what of the ancient hermits of the Brahmins, namely Ataka, Vamaka, Vamadeva, Vaisamita, Yamadagi, Angirasa, Bharadwaja, Vaseta, Kasapa, and Bhagu? They were the authors and propagators of the hymns. Their hymnal was sung and propagated and compiled in ancient times, and these days Brahmins continue to sing and chant it, chanting what was chanted and teaching what was taught. Did even they say, "We declare the result of these five things after realizing it with our own insight"? No, Master Gotama. So, student, it seems there is not a single one of the Brahmins, not even anyone back to the seventh generation of teachers, nor even the ancient hermits of the Brahmins, who says, "We declare the result of these five things after realizing it with our own insight." Suppose there was a queue of blind men, each holding the one in front. The first one does not see, the middle one does not see, and the last one does not see. In the same way, it seems to me that the Brahmin's statement turns out to be comparable to a queue of blind men. The first one does not see, the middle one does not see, and the last one does not see. When he said this, Supa became angry and upset with the Buddha because of the simile of the queue of blind men. He even attacked and bad-mouthed the Buddha himself, saying, "The ascetic Gotama will be worsted." He said to the Buddha, "Master Gotama, the Brahmin Pokarasati Upamanya of the Subhaka forest says, this is exactly what happens with some ascetics and Brahmins. They claim to have a superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of the noble ones. But their statement turns out to be a joke, mere words, void and hollow. For how on earth can a human being know, or see, or realize a superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of the noble ones? That is not possible." But, student, does Pokarasati understand the minds of all these ascetics and Brahmins, having comprehended them with his mind? Master Gotama, Pokarasati doesn't even know the mind of his own bonded maid, Punika, so how could he know all those ascetics and Brahmins? Suppose there was a person blind from birth. They couldn't see sights that are dark or bright or blue, yellow, red or magenta. They couldn't see even and uneven ground, or the stars, or the moon and sun. They'd say, "There's no such thing as dark and bright sights, and no one who sees them. There's no such thing as blue, yellow, red, magenta, even and uneven ground, stars, moon and sun, and no one who sees these things. I don't know it or see it, therefore it doesn't exist." Would they be speaking rightly? No, Master Gotama. There are such things as dark and bright sights and one who sees them. There is blue, yellow, red, magenta, even and uneven ground, stars, moon and sun, and one who sees these things. So it's not right to say this, "I don't know it or see it, therefore it doesn't exist." In the same way, Pokarasati is blind and sightless. It's not possible for him to know or see or realize a superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of the noble ones. What do you think, student? There are well-to-do Brahmins of Kosala, such as the Brahmins Chunky, Taruka, Pokarasati, Janyasoni, and your father Tadeya. What's better for them? That their speech agrees or disagrees with accepted usage? That it agrees, Master Gotama. What's better for them, that their speech is thoughtful or thoughtless? That it is thoughtful. What's better for them, that their speech follows reflection or is unreflective? That it follows reflection. What's better for them? That their speech is beneficial or worthless? That it's beneficial. What do you think, student? If this is so, does Pokarasati's speech agree or disagree with accepted usage? It disagrees, Master Gotama. Is it thoughtful or thoughtless? Thoughtless. Is it reflective or unreflective? Unreflective. Is it beneficial or worthless? Worthless. Student. There are these five hindrances. What five? The hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. These are the five hindrances. Pokarasati is caged, trapped, covered, and engulfed by these five hindrances. It's not possible for him to know or see or realize a superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of the noble ones. There are these five kinds of sensual stimulation. What five? There are sights known by the eye that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. There are sounds known by the ear that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Smells known by the nose that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Tastes known by the tongue that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Touches known by the body that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. These are the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Pokarasati enjoys himself with these five kinds of sensual stimulation, tied, infatuated, attached, blind to the drawbacks and not understanding the escape. It's not possible for him to know or see or realize a superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of the noble ones. What do you think, student? Which would have better flames, colour, and radiance? A fire that depends on grass and logs as fuel, or one that does not? If it were possible for a fire to burn without depending on grass and logs as fuel, that would have better flames, colour, and radiance. But it isn't possible, except by psychic power. Rapture that depends on the five kinds of sensual stimulation is like a fire that depends on grass and logs as fuel. Rapture that's apart from sensual pleasures and unskillful qualities is like a fire that doesn't depend on grass and logs as fuel. And what is rapture that's apart from sensual pleasures and unskillful qualities? It's when a mendicant, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion, while placing the mind and keeping it connected. This is rapture that's apart from sensual pleasures and unskillful qualities. Furthermore, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, they enter and remain in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and confidence, and unified mind without placing the mind and keeping it connected. This too is rapture that's apart from sensual pleasures and unskillful qualities. Of the five things that the Brahmins prescribe for making merit and succeeding in the skillful, which do they say is the most fruitful? Generosity. What do you think, student? Suppose a Brahmin was setting up a big sacrifice. Then two Brahmins came along thinking to participate. Then one of those Brahmins thought, "Oh, I hope that I alone get the best seat, the best drink, and the best alms food in the refectory, not some other Brahmin." But it's possible that some other Brahmin gets the best seat, the best drink, and the best alms food in the refectory. Thinking, "Some other Brahmin has got the best seat, the best drink, the best alms food," they get angry and bitter. What do the Brahmins say is the result of this? Master Gotama, Brahmins don't give gifts so that others will get angry and upset. Rather, they give only out of compassion. In that case, isn't compassion a sixth ground for making merit? In that case, compassion is a sixth ground for making merit. Of the five things that the Brahmins prescribe for making merit and succeeding in the skillful, where do you usually find them? Among lay people or renunciates? Mostly among renunciates, and less so among lay people. For a lay person has many requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and they can't always tell the truth, practice austerities, be celibate, do lots of recitation, or be very generous. But a renunciate has few requirements, duties, issues, and undertakings, and they can always tell the truth, practice austerities, be celibate, do lots of recitation, and be very generous. Of the five things that the Brahmins prescribe for making merit and succeeding in the skillful, I usually find them among renunciates, and less so among lay people. I say that the five things prescribed by the Brahmins for making merit are prerequisites of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. Take a mendicant who speaks the truth, thinking, "I'm truthful." They find joy in the meaning and the teaching, and find joy connected with the teaching. And I say that joy connected with the skillful is a prerequisite of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. Take a mendicant who practices austerities, thinking, "I practice austerities." They find joy in the meaning and the teaching, and find joy connected with the teaching. And I say that joy connected with the skillful is a prerequisite of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. Take a mendicant who is celibate. Thinking, "I'm celibate," they find joy in the meaning and the teaching, and find joy connected with the teaching. And I say that joy connected with the skillful is a prerequisite of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. Take a mendicant who does a lot of recitation. Thinking, "I do a lot of recitation," they find joy in the meaning and the teaching, and find joy connected with the teaching. And I say that joy connected with the skillful is a prerequisite of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. Take a mendicant who is very generous. Thinking, "I'm very generous," they find joy in the meaning and the teaching, and find joy connected with the teaching. And I say that joy connected with the skillful is a prerequisite of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. I say that these five things prescribed by the Brahmins for making merit are prerequisites of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. When he had spoken, Supa said to him, "Master Gotama, I have heard that the ascetic Gotama knows a path to companionship with Brahma. What do you think, student? Is the village of Nalakara nearby?" "Yes, it is, sir." "What do you think, student? Suppose a person was born and raised in Nalakara, and as soon as they left the town some people asked them for the road to Nalakara, would they be slow or hesitant to answer?" "No, Master Gotama." "Why is that?" "Because they were born and raised in Nalakara. They're well acquainted with all the roads to the village." "Still, it's possible they might be slow or hesitant to answer. But the realized one is never slow or hesitant when questioned about the Brahma realm or the practice that leads to the Brahma realm." "I understand Brahma, the Brahma realm, and the practice that leads to the Brahma realm, practicing in accordance with which one is reborn in the Brahma realm." "Master Gotama, I have heard that the ascetic Gotama teaches a path to companionship with Brahma. Please teach me that path." "Well then, student, listen and pay close attention. I will speak."
"Yes, sir," replied Supa.
The Buddha said this:
"And what is a path to companionship with Brahma? Firstly, a mendicant meditates, spreading a heart full of love to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of love to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. When the heart's release by love has been developed and cultivated like this, Any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by love has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. Furthermore, a mendicant meditates spreading a heart full of compassion to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way, above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of compassion to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. When the heart's release by compassion has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by compassion has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. They meditate spreading a heart full of rejoicing to one direction and to the second and to the third and to the fourth. In the same way above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of rejoicing to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. When the heart's release by rejoicing has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by rejoicing has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. They meditate spreading a heart full of equanimity to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of equanimity to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. When the heart's release by equanimity has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by equanimity has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This, too, is a path to companionship with Brahma. When he had spoken, Subha said to him, "Excellent, Master Gotama, excellent." As if he were writing the overturned or revealing the hidden, or pointing out the path to the lost, or lighting a lamp in the dark so people with good eyes can see what's there, Master Gotama has made the teaching clear in many ways. I go for refuge to Master Gotama, to the teaching and to the mendicant Sangha. From this day forth, may Master Gotama remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge for life. Well now, Master Gotama, I must go. I have many duties and much to do. Please, student, go at your convenience. And then Supa approved and agreed with what the Buddha said. He got up from his seat, bowed, and respectfully circled the Buddha, keeping him on his right before leaving. Now at that time the Brahmin Janusoni drove out from Sarvati in the middle of the day in an all-white chariot drawn by mares. He saw the student Supa coming off in the distance and said to him, "So, Master Bharadwaja, where are you coming from in the middle of the day?" "Just now, good sir, I've come from the presence of the ascetic Gotama." "What do you think of the ascetic Gotama's lucidity of wisdom? Do you think he's astute?" "My good man, who am I to judge the ascetic Gotama's lucidity of wisdom? You'd really have to be on the same level to judge his lucidity of wisdom. Master Bharadwaja praises the ascetic Gotama with lofty praise indeed." "Who am I to praise the ascetic Gotama? He is praised by the praised as the best of gods and humans. The five things that the Brahmins prescribe for making merit and succeeding in the skillful, he says, are prerequisites of the mind for developing a mind free of enmity and ill will. When he had spoken, Janusoni got down from his chariot, arranged his robe over one shoulder, knelt on his right knee, raised his joined palms toward the Buddha, and was inspired to exclaim three times, King Pasenadi of Kosala is lucky, so very lucky that the realized one, the perfected one, the fully awakened Buddha is living in his realm.